Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Kids Health Network podcast. This is Andrew. Just wanted to say at the end, as we near the end of season one, a big thank you to everyone for listening. It's been a big project that I've worked on for the last few months, and it's finally come to fruition. We've had lots of listens in our first few weeks of being launched, and it's been very exciting. I've got more topics to come in season two, more specialists and allied health professionals, and also wanted to say thanks for them for giving up their time. It's been really interesting for me, and I hope it's been useful for parents and families. Also, finally, thank you to Sam, our sound person, who's been helping me to put all this together at the end of each episode. And we're looking at probably doing some more social media and website work in the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that too. Okay, time for our next episode. See you all again soon. Bye.
Raising children can be one of the most challenging life journeys you will ever take. This is the Kids Health Network podcast, supporting happy, healthy children and demystifying common medical and psychological problems with experienced health professionals. Hosted by father of two and general practitioner, Dr. Andrew Leach.
Did you know that one in three children have eczema? This dry, irritated skin condition can cause so many problems for kids, especially if it's not treated properly, and it can be really hard to work out what treatment is. It's hard to get that consistent information. Eczema can't be cured, but it can be treated very, very effectively, and many children will even grow out of this condition. There are three consistent messages I hear about from dermatologists. The skin must be washed with a non-soap cleanser. To use enough moisturiser every day. In terms of cleansers and moisturisers, brands that I seem to find work well are QV and Dermese. The final message is to use steroid creams when the skin is inflamed to treat the underlying inflammation. I'm lucky to be meeting an eczema expert today from the Perth Children's Hospital. Gemma is a very qualified eczema nurse practitioner. She's involved in a number of research trials around allergies and skin problems. And she's going to tell us the most up-to-date information about what they normally advise in eczema outpatient clinics. So today we're talking about eczema, and I'm very fortunate to be joined by an eczema expert, a bit of a tongue twister, from the Perth Children's Hospital, who is a nurse practitioner who specialises in all things to do with eczema and has developed a special interest in this field. So, Gemma, thank you for coming today.
My pleasure, Andrew. Yep. Thank you for having me.
That's okay. I guess we'll start with the common questions I see as a GP. Parents often come in concerned about eczema. But going all the way back to basics, like how does skin actually look if it has eczema? How do we know it's eczema?
Sure, that's a good question. So eczema is, it's certainly a very common skin condition in children where the skin's dry and itchy. Often you'll see these rough red patches. They feel quite dry. Sometimes there can be scratch marks on the skin and also skin infections as well. Eczema often starts in the first year of life but can actually occur at any age. But we certainly most commonly see it in the younger children. The good thing is that most children will outgrow their eczema, which is great. And our impression certainly is that early effective management of eczema using moisturisers and topical steroids helps children outgrow their eczema.
Okay. So you mentioned it's quite dry skin. Does it tend to occur in any specific part of the body? Like, is it in the creases or can it be anywhere? Or
yes, so
there seems to be certain patterns, doesn't there?
That's right. Yeah, so often in the younger children, in babies, we certainly see it most commonly on the face. Sometimes it can happen, you know, they can get eczema on the torso and also on their arms and legs, but certainly typically occurs on their face. And then in the preschool children and the older children, we often see it in the flexural areas, so in the wrists, the elbows, behind the knees, the ankles.
Okay.
And sometimes those areas can be quite stubborn to treat.
Yeah, and we'll go into that a little bit because I know in those creases it can be hot and sweaty, sort of under the underwear, under the nappy as well. It can be very hot in those creases, and we know heat's one of those big triggers to eczema.
That's right. Yep, it so absolutely
makes
is.
It difficult to treat. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Certainly coming into winter, we need to be really careful not to overdress and overheat our children, particularly at night.
Mm.
Just watch, and also just to avoid blow heater or heaters in the bedroom, but particularly blow heaters in the bedroom. Just make sure the room temperature's not too warm and the children aren't wearing too many layers of clothes.
Big question number two that I get, what actually causes eczema? Probably hard to answer.
That's a really great question. Yeah. So the cause of eczema is actually not that well understood, but we do know that it tends to run in families, so there's certainly a genetic component there. And we also think that the immune system and the environment also play a role. So it's certainly it's a very complex interaction of these things. And the thing with eczema, it tends to cluster with other atopic diseases like hay fever, asthma, and food allergies, although not all children will develop these conditions. Some children will just have eczema, some will progress to develop some of these other conditions.
So is it important for families or their GP to look into the cause of eczema, or is it more important just to treat the eczema and deal with the rest later, do you think?
So look, I think it's certainly important to ask about a family history of atopy. That is certainly important.
What's atopy? Sorry.
So atopy is whether the children have a history or whether there's a family history of eczema, asthma or hay fever. Having said that, you know, for example, there are often the children's parents, mum or dad, might have a history of eczema, asthma and or hay fever. They may have one of these, they may have all of them, and occasionally the mother and the father will have neither. Eczema, asthma or hay fever in these children, you know, some of the siblings will be born with eczema. So it's not always the case that there is a family history, but in many cases there are. In terms of it changing your treatment, you know, if the children have eczema, you're still going to manage the eczema with moisturisers and topical steroids. And often parents get quite frustrated in not being able to identify a cause of the eczema. We certainly know it's important to ask about triggers, and if there are any known triggers, any avoidable triggers, then that's certainly important to address. But sometimes there are no known eczema triggers, and it can be really frustrating. It flares, it settles, it flares again. And the important thing is to treat the eczema properly.
Yeah, I get that a lot. And I can understand that you sort of, you worry that you're, you know, using a lot of treatment. Why aren't we working out why this is happening? But I agree. Like, I think, you know, really prioritise that treatment. And whilst you're doing that, you can work alongside, whether it's a specialist or your GP, to figure out, you know, exactly why this is happening, this skin condition. We mentioned food there as well. We touched on food allergies. That's a big one as well. So we get quite often parents worried that there is a food trigger that's leading to the eczema. They're advised somewhere along the line to eliminate that food, and, you know, sometimes it improves. But is it recommended now in guidelines to actually go on trials of different food reductions to try and help eczema? What do you think?
So no, so our guidelines and specialists recommend that we don't routinely exclude foods from a child's diet and from an infant's diet unless there's a need to. And if you are going to, if there is a clinical need to, if there's a medical reason why you need to exclude food from the diet, you need to do it under supervision with your doctor and with support from an accredited
dietitian. Yeah,
yeah,
and
that's
it,
right.
It may have come up through through allergy testing that need has arisen, or it may have come up through the history. But I think it's really important that that's not just done willy-nilly because it, you know, Google said to do it, but it's actually appropriately formulated with your doctor.
That's right. And if there's a history, certainly if there's a history of every time, you know, the child or the baby eats egg or peanut, that they develop hives or lip swelling or facial swelling or wheeze or cough, then absolutely that is an immediate allergic reaction that needs to be treated appropriately. And the food and the advice in that situation would be to exclude that particular food until you've had medical review and further allergy specialist review. But in majority of cases, if a child presents with eczema, the most important thing is to treat the eczema properly and to keep the food in the diet where possible. So don't routinely exclude the foods, keep eating all foods where possible, particularly those allergenic foods, the egg, the peanut, the tree nuts, wheat, fish, soy, dairy, etc.
I see a few babies that get the perioral sort of eczema.
The rash around the mouth.
I don't know if you treat that as well, but I find that one a bit tricky. And sometimes there are some foods that can trigger that because it's so close to where they're eating. And I often tell parents it's those stronger acidic kind of foods, you know, the tomato, the citrusy fruits, those sorts of things that can do that. But it still doesn't mean that's an allergy that needs to be, you know, quickly excluded unless that child's becoming unwell from the food. So I try and encourage them to continue the food or maybe use a barrier cream to protect the mouth around times that they're going to have lots of tomato.
Yeah, so some of the common foods that tend to cause irritation around the mouth are exactly that, a lot of the acidic foods, so the strawberry, the watermelon, the pineapple, the tomato sauce. So, and this is certainly often parents of children, you know, little babies aged sort of between 4 to 6 months up until about 10 to 14 months, where there's a lot happening around the mouth. You know, they're starting solids, there's a lot of food constantly happening around the mouth, there's saliva, they're teething, maybe, you know, dummies. So there's a lot happening around the mouth. So yes, applying a barrier cream a few times a day is very helpful, particularly before meals if there's a certain food that's causing that rash. But you're absolutely right. Mm. It's more a contact irritation rather than an actual allergy. Mm. And getting back to your question before, there's evidence, the research tells us that if we actually introduce a food, then exclude it for a while and then reintroduce it, we can actually cause an allergy. Mm. We can cause anaphylaxis. So it's really, really important to try and keep the foods in the diet where possible. And some of these foods we certainly know will flare the eczema. And if that's the case, we suggest to keep the food in the diet and perhaps in some instances reduce the amount they're eating, but continue it in their diet and just manage the eczema really well. So that's not uncommon.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And that clears up a lot of big questions that I've been getting. I wanted to move on to the treatment.
Yes.
I see it as two, you know, aspects really, moisturising and steroid cream, with a few other specialty treatments that you can use. So starting with moisturisers, every time you walk into a chemist now, there's a new brand of moisturiser. Is there one that parents should be going for, or is there a type, you know, there's cream, there's ointment, there's, you know, thick ointment, there's lotion. Is there a particular thing that you would be sort of seeking out as a preference for moisturising?
Yeah, sure. So look, there's no one right moisturiser for children with eczema. So often you will need to try a few different types of moisturisers to find the one which best suits you or your child. Now, the ointments and thick moisturising creams are better than lotions because they're more hydrating and less likely to sting. But the thicker creams and ointments are not always well tolerated by the children because they don't tend to like the greasy feeling, particularly in the older children and teens. So if that's the case, it's certainly worth trying a cream rather than a thick cream. So lotions tend to be too watery, they're not oily enough, they contain too much water and not enough oil for most children with eczema. For hairy dads or teenage boys who are perhaps a little bit more hairy, then sure, a lotion may be recommended in that instance. But for most children, babies and children with eczema, lotions are too drying, they're not moisturising enough, so we'd recommend a cream, a thick cream or an ointment depending. Now sometimes if the children have a lot of active eczema, then a cream or thicker cream still may sting, so then we would use an ointment short term in that instance, and then when we've cleared the eczema, then we can go back to using. So we'd use an ointment for a few days, clear the eczema, then get back to using a cream.
Okay. And so it forms a really important part of treatment, using moisturiser. How often should a parent put moisturiser on their child?
So moisturising every single day to the whole body, including the face, is really, really important, even if there's no eczema. You can use moisturiser more often if the skin feels dry, but you need to moisturise at least every single day, even when there's no eczema, until the children are teenagers and adults and have left home.
Yep.
So yeah, really, really important, and that will help build up the skin barrier so that eczema flares are less likely to occur. The skin's not so dry. Dry skin's itchy skin. You can often, you know, make a really big difference, especially with building up that skin barrier.
Mm, I think that goes back to, you know, the actual physiology of eczema. It's a dryness defect. The skin's not able to moisturise itself as much as it should be able to. So we have to sort of act for the body and help it out and give it that extra moisture. And I often tell parents, you can't overdose on moisturiser.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I guess then on top of the moisturiser, we've got steroid. So steroid cream, for some unknown reason, becomes controversial in patients and online and in various forums. And I think I wanted to, you know, demystify them a little bit and make it more acceptable for steroids to be used. So how do they work and do you feel that they are safe?
Yes, so they're very safe if used effectively and as directed. And in actual fact, we need to look at the benefits versus the risks, because it's far more important to use topical steroids to clear the eczema, it's very safe, than have a child who's waking at night, scratching, not being able to concentrate at school during the day, so then they're tired. This affects their schooling, it affects behaviour. Often we see children who have reported to have behavioural problems. Often they don't have behavioural problems, it's just they're really tired and cranky, and then so are mum and dad because they've had to be up in the night time. The eczema can affect the growth and development of children, because the children are just up scratching during the day and the night, and their body's just not able to concentrate on growing. It's not uncommon for children with moderate to severe eczema to have, you know, their growth plateau.
There's
and their
also
growth
the
development.
Risk of actual scarring or damage to the skin from eczema, as far
absolutely.
As I'm aware. Yep.
That's right. And so often if you treat the eczema properly with topical steroids, you only actually need to use them fairly short term, because if you use them properly, apply something that's the appropriate strength to the appropriate area, then often you'll be able to clear the eczema after a few days. So it's important to remember, in terms of the treatments for eczema, often you'll walk out, you know, once you've seen someone who's diagnosed you or your child with eczema, there'll be two treatments that we've got to remember. The skin is often dry and itchy in most cases of eczema, and you'll need a moisturiser to treat the dry skin and a topical steroid to treat the itch and reduce that inflammation.
Yeah, we've lately been heading more towards stronger steroid creams in general to try and control that eczema more quickly. But again, you know, it's case by case, and you need to sort of discuss this with your doctor. But yes. I found that that seems to work a bit better, getting onto to it really quickly with a good topical steroid that works well, not fearing actually using them, you know, using them as much as you need to in terms of as prescribed, if it's once a day, and not sort of using a tiny, tiny little drop of it, just getting onto the skin and actually using a good smear of the cream to cover that eczema, and then go from there.
That's right. And often we see a lot of parents who present to eczema clinic with their babies and children will have been using a very low potent over-the-counter topical steroid to sometimes quite stubborn eczema areas, and wonder why they've been using it every day or sometimes twice a day for several months and sometimes even years, and just are unable to clear it. So you're exactly right. You know, there are different strengths of topical steroids. They're all applied in the same way. We tend to use the weaker ones for the face and the other other sensitive areas like the groin, the axilla, inner thighs, and we tend to use the stronger ones for the body, because we're more likely, if we use a stronger topical steroid or an appropriate topical steroid, we're more likely to clear the eczema much quicker. And yeah, you're absolutely right, they're usually applied once a day. Sometimes your doctor might recommend twice a day, but in most cases, usually once a day in the evening after the bath is enough. It's also important to remember to apply the topical steroid liberally, not sparingly. And what I mean by that is that often parents are advised to apply the topical steroid sparingly or for a few days only, so the eczema may start to improve a bit but never actually completely clears. So what we need to do, it's really important to apply enough topical steroid to all the eczema affected areas, not just the worst areas. It's okay to use it on the scratch marks on the skin, the open skin, using it every single day till the eczema is completely gone and the skin feels smooth or skin feels normal again, and then you can stop. The ideal time is after the child's had a bath or a shower in the evening. Pat the skin dry, so we suggest having a bath usually once a day. It's important. It cleans the skin, it cools the skin after, once they're in the bath, have a short bath, 5 minutes or so, using lukewarm water, have a bath oil in there or a soap-free wash. Once they've hopped out of the bath, apply the topical steroid to every bit of eczema they can see and feel, so to all eczema-affected areas, not just the worst areas, and then apply moisturiser everywhere else over the body. You don't need to wait. And then the other really important thing is, once you've cleared the eczema, which is often usually after a few days, then to, as soon as the eczema comes back, when it flares again, whether it's 2 weeks later, 1 week later, 5 months later, really important to get your topical steroid out again and start treating it as soon as the flare
Early
starts.
Is better.
Absolutely, yep, and you'll get much better control much quicker.
Commonest concern from patients. So this one is thrown at me pretty much every day.
Yes.
Does the steroid cream thin the skin? And how do I reassure parents more that it's the eczema that's more damaging?
Yes.
The benefits outweigh the risks.
Yes.
Of course, on the product information, it's going to say it's going to say may cause this, this, and this. And
sure.
I try and get parents to avoid reading all those
yes.
nasty side effects. But what would you say when parents ask this question?
Yeah, it's certainly something I get asked often in clinic as well. And look, you're absolutely right. If we were to use a very, very high potent steroid on an or a potent steroid on a sensitive area such as the eyelid every day for 12 months, sure, you know, we are likely to see side effects. But we're actually not using the topical steroids in that way. So that's where I get back to. If you use them as prescribed and as directed, that's right. Mm. And that's why we choose very carefully what topical steroids we use to which areas. And you know, while saying we would use a, tend to use a weaker steroid around the eyelid and to some of those other sensitive areas.
Mm.
So, and the other thing to remember is that those eczema patches, the eczematous patches, are often quite thick. The skin's thickened, and these children with eczema will have quite thickened skin, especially in the areas where they've rubbed chronically, where there's been a lot of chronic rubbing and scratching. Mm-hmm. So to areas like the wrists, the elbows, the ankles. So using topical steroid appropriately, the side effect of thinning the skin is just very, very unlikely to happen because you've got thick skin that you're actually needing something reasonably strong to work through.
Mm. Takes a while to penetrate that.
That's right. Mm. Yes, yeah. So the issue of thinning the skin is it's a side effect that lots of people worry about, but it's very, very unlikely if you're using them as prescribed.
Put it to the back of your mind, I think. Yeah,
that's right.
If that's one of your concerns, be reassured that you're doing the right thing by using the cream.
Yeah, and it's not uncommon, you know, when families come in, they're really, really surprised after trying so many different things for so long, sometimes years. And they come in and we talk to them about the importance of using the moisturiser every day, applying the topical steroids as we suggest, and then they're just often so surprised that their eczema has cleared for the first time in a very long time after only a few days.
Very rewarding.
It's very rewarding, yeah, and it's great. So then the next time their eczema flares, they can understand you know, the importance of being able to use the topical steroids and also understand that you actually often in most cases need to use it for very short term.
It gives them that confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah. And like I said before, you know, our impression is that, you know, early effective management of eczema with using moisturisers and topical steroids actually helps children outgrow their eczema faster. So that's just a real, real motivator for us.
From a GP's perspective as well, just with some of these creams, they do come in tiny little tubes, you know, 15 gram tubes. So you can ask for more tubes if you find you're going through one a week, or you're going through, you know, even quicker than that for some children. So, you know, you can ask under the PBS, we are allowed to prescribe more tubes in a script. So that gives you the confidence and then you know you've got enough in case it flares. So that's just something to mention to your GP. I guess finally, you know, for the really resistant severe eczema cases, are there any other practical strategies that can be used? I've heard of wet dressings, I've heard of bleach baths. Is there anything that's evidence-based or that's used in hospitals that is quite effective that can also be implemented at home?
Yeah, sure. So look, wet dressings and bleach baths are two very different treatments, and we certainly use both of them in many of the children we see with eczema. So wet dressings are often recommended when a child's waking at night with itch from the eczema, or if the eczema isn't significantly improving despite using an appropriate topical steroid after a couple of days. You know, if there's a pretty slow response, then often we'll start using wet dressings to help things move along and improve the eczema. So wet dressings help to reduce the itch, they cool the skin, they protect the skin, they stop the children scratching that eczema, which is particularly helpful at night time, and they also make the topical steroids more effective, and certainly you know, they make a really big difference and actually help mean you need to use less steroid because the eczema gets better much quicker.
So are you talking about just putting the kids in wet pyjamas?
Absolutely. So using clothes, the patient's clothes, is a really great way to use wet dressings. So what we would suggest is we'd suggest using, after the bath, particularly in the evening, they're very helpful. Often these children overheat at night time. We suggest after the bath, again, padding dry, applying the topical steroid to every bit of eczema you can see. Now, some clinicians, some people will recommend applying moisturiser over the topical steroid, or applying a steroid, then applying moisturiser, and then applying the wet dressing. And then other clinicians will recommend putting the wet dressing over the topical steroid. Now, either is fine, neither is right or wrong. So I would just suggest to follow the advice from the clinician who's given you that advice. So once you've applied the topical steroid, moisturise it everywhere else in the body if you're going to use moisturiser under the wet dressing, and then you get a bowl of lukewarm water you would wring out, you put the clothes in the water, so a long sleeve top if the eczema's, depending on where the eczema is, and then, you know, something like leggings, cotton is always a good idea. Put it in the water, lukewarm water, wring it out, and then pop it on the chard for half an hour before bedtime. Take the wet dressing off, and then apply moisturiser. Always really important to apply moisturiser after you remove a wet dressing. Now, we often recommend that a wet dressing consists of a wet layer on the skin and then a dry layer over the top. However, if it's not that cold and the child's happy to run around, and then half an hour later we can remove the wet dressing, apply moisturiser, put their jammies on and into bed. Some children are very happy to sleep in their wet dressings, and that certainly makes a, you know, really big improvement, but it all depends on what's going to work best for the family.
It's amazing that that tactic helps.
It does. It makes a really big difference. And it's really interesting. Parents often come back 2 weeks later to clinic saying, I'm now a wet dressing convert. You know, it just makes a really big difference. And also you can target certain areas. You know, if you've got some stubborn areas like the ankles, eczema on the ankles or the elbows or the wrists, we often can use, there are some tubular bandages which we can use if you don't need to do wet dressings to the whole body. But certainly clothes are a very good option if the children have widespread eczema. Mm. And then, like I said, there are other alternatives if there are just smaller areas.
So those wet dressings are reserved for those kids with the really persistent, you know, irritating eczema, especially if it's itchy at night, and the more severe eczema when it's quite generalised eczema. That's my understanding. What about bleach baths? Completely different treatment.
Yes.
But I occasionally tell parents to put some bleach, literally bleach, into their bath as a really good sterilising agent to the skin. Is there any update on that, or what would you suggest?
Yes, so yes, you're right. We certainly recommend bleach baths in certain children too for eczema. And we commonly would use, we would recommend bleach baths for children who get a lot of recurrent skin infections and a lot of infected eczema. We don't want these children needing course of antibiotics after course of antibiotics. So the bleach baths help to reduce the bacteria on their skin. These children have a high bacterial load. They've got lots of bacteria on their skin. Some bacteria is good, of course, but they've just got, you know, a higher proportion and much more of it, so they're more prone to, you know, when they're scratching, then the bugs are more likely to get into those, you know, open wounds and cause infection, etc. Mm. And so the other thing, bleach baths are also helpful for the children who are using a really good, who have got really good optimal management. They're following their management plan, they're using appropriate topical steroids, and it's just they're frequently flaring, you know, if they're flaring every, you know, fairly often, then sometimes it's that bacteria that is driving the eczema, so we'll recommend bleach baths. They're usually recommended in most children twice weekly for 3 months.
Okay.
And then we review. And you're absolutely right. We use the household White King bleach. We prefer not to use a fragrance. We would just recommend the plain household White King bleach. And there are certainly, it's really important to follow the instructions that the clinician has given you, because there are different recipes for bleach baths, all resulting in a very similar concentration, but really important that you follow the one that your clinician's given you. Mm. Yeah, and so they usually have the bleach baths twice a week, and it often makes a really, really big difference and just stops this cycle of these recurrent skin infections and infected eczema.
That's another one I've seen work really well. So it's good. Yes. It's really good. Good tips. I guess to close, you know, is there anything that parents there should be careful of with eczema? Is there particular products, maybe over the counter, that they have been told to use, but it could be actually making it worse? Or is there, you know, you said some fragrances, products that have chemicals, are these things tend to be, we should avoid while the eczema's flaring?
Sure. So look, one of the most common questions I get asked are, how do I choose the right moisturiser? Is it anything that I need to avoid or be careful of? And like I mentioned before, there is no one right moisturiser. Often we've got to try a few different ones, but certainly moisturisers and skin products containing food-derived proteins like nut oils and goat milk may actually play a role in development of food allergies in babies and children with eczema. So it's actually best not to use them. And also skin products that contain plant extracts like lavender and tea tree oils have also sometimes shown to cause skin irritation in some children with eczema, so are best avoided. Mm. Now, the reason is that in people with eczema, the skin's barrier function is impaired, so the skin doesn't have particular body oils and fats and moisturisers that usually can keep the skin healthy and intact. So we've talked about that the moisturisers improve the skin barrier function and are important to use every day, but I talk to families often about, you know, the skin being like a brick wall, where the bricklayers haven't actually done a great job. So in children with eczema, the bricks, which represent the skin cells, there are often gaps and cracks between the brick cells due to not having enough oils and fats. And so there are gaps and cracks. So it's more easy for allergens and irritants from the environment, like food proteins, grasses, pollens, dust mite, etc., to come into the body through the skin. So choosing a moisturiser that doesn't contain food proteins, etc., is really important, and it will actually make it harder for those other things that we just talked about to get into the body and cause inflammation, etc.
So it might be worth speaking to your pharmacist, I guess, if that's the case, you know, so you know what's in each product you're using.
Yes, because it's really confusing when you walk, you know, there are a lot of products. Even myself, I often have to look at the label and look at what's in them. But there are a few websites. There's a website called Nip Allergies and the Bub, preventallergies.org.au, which is great. And that is an evidence-based website. So it's a place where parents can go for credible information. They've got lots of tips on managing eczema. They've got some videos on how to correctly apply topical steroids, how to correctly apply moisturisers, how to do wet dressings, how to do bleach baths. So they can be, they're some very useful resources. They're free online. Anyone can access them. And that is also a great resource that talks about how to introduce allergenic foods, those foods we were talking about before, in children with eczema and also in children without eczema.
I'll put the link to that in the blurb for this podcast so that people can use that website.
Great.
It's a fantastic resource.
Great. And ASCIA, the Australasian College.
ASCIA, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Okay. Have some great eczema information sheets as well.
Okay. Gemma, you have given up so much time today to come out to my clinic and have a chat about eczema, one of the biggest topics I see day to day. So your expertise has been much appreciated. I've learned a lot myself. Thank you for coming.
That's my pleasure.
This has been another Kids Health Network podcast. The information and advice provided here is for general purposes only. It is not an alternative to the medical advice offered in person by your GP, paediatrician, or other health professional relating to you or your child's specific condition. If you have concerns that you or your child is acutely unwell, please seek immediate medical attention. For more, find us on Facebook or Instagram at Kids Health Network.